Neil Armstrong, 38-year-old American standing on the surface of the moon on this July 20th, 1969.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Hi again, and welcome to Amran's Podcast, episode 166. Today is Monday, July 20th, 2009, and that makes today the 40th anniversary of humans landing on the moon. And I can tell you that in 1969, the idea of talking about it in 2009 was pretty unimaginable. Mind you, I was 10 years old at the time, so probably everything was unimaginable. That clip, of course, is not exactly the way it was, all due respect to Uncle Walter. It's a recreation. And it just seemed appropriate to me because it commemorates two events. It commemorates the anniversary of the landing on the moon and also the passing of Walter Cronkite. And both the space program and Walter Cronkite were big features of my life growing up, certainly. I'm pretty sure that we almost exclusively watched the CBS Evening News when I was growing up. But the space program was a constant feature of my life. I'm pretty sure I vaguely remember Project Mercury, but I certainly remember Project Gemini. And I had a toy Gemini rocket with a little space capsule, which was actually red plastic. I remember that. And it came complete. It was a set. It came complete with a blue plastic Navy recovery helicopter. And I actually had that space capsule for years, long after I lost the rocket and the helicopter. Although, what happened to it and when, I couldn't tell you. But I played with that for years. And, of course, I also watched all of the Apollo 13 launches as well. And when I was learning to read in first grade, I would have been about, what, six, I guess, we were given an experimental program to read. It was a phonetic alphabet. Because in those days, kids were taught reading Dick and Jane. See Dick, run. Run, Dick, run. And we weren't given that. Instead, we were given a phonetic alphabet called the Initial Teaching Alphabet, or ITA. And it was revolutionary for its time, certainly. But because of that, we were reading stories about space. I remember there was one story about a monkey who was launched into space. And then there was another about an airline pilot who had to look out for his passengers, and all kinds of more real-life stories. The problem is that that program is supposed to be a two-year program, and in the second year, second grade, which is, well, I guess about seven, the students were supposed to transition to the normal alphabet. Well, they decided not, for some reason, they decided not to fund the second year. And so there's this sort of sudden switch to the normal alphabet, which, frankly, some of my classmates had a lot of trouble adjusting to, but for some reason I didn't. And to this day, I still can't read. No, of course I can. But that's what's going on today. That is a very big deal indeed. Now, today also, earlier today, I was listening to the Dubious Intent live show on Pride48.com, followed by Tristan's Jaded City. And then after that, they gave up the feed and they were begging me, or anybody, but it was mostly me, to pick up the feed. So I did, and I actually ended up broadcasting for about an hour today, earlier this morning. And I actually have that recorded because it automatically starts archiving as soon as you connect to the feed. But at this stage anyway, I'm not going to post it. And the reason for that is that a large chunk of that is we were trying to get Archer Radio's sound correct so that when he played music or whatever, it didn't blast everybody's ears out. And probably of that hour, probably about a half an hour spent with that. So what I may do is I'll go back and listen to it at some stage, and if I think there's anything salvageable, I'll put it together and I'll probably just post it on the site and put a link to it rather than post it as an episode. And actually, Pride 48 is one of the things I wanted to talk about today. I've so far put out three live podcast episodes, all three of them with Nigel. The first two, of course, were for Pride 48 itself, and the second one was that two-hour extravaganza. And I know that not everyone is a fan of those, and some people love them, which is fine. Someone told me a long time ago when I was just starting out in podcasting that you can't really worry too much about whether or not you're doing things that individuals want to hear, because there's some people who won't want to hear it, and there will be other people who do want to. And at the end of the day, all you can do is what you want to do and to do the best you can at it. And I thought that was fair advice. And so that's what I've been trying to do. Now, in the future, it's entirely possible that Nigel and I will do more live casts like that again. Probably not anytime soon, quite frankly, but it's entirely possible that he and I may show up on somebody else's show, just like on Friday, our time, Thursday, U.S. time, we showed up on Archer's after show. It wasn't recorded, fortunately, probably. So we were on that for a while. And it's that kind of thing that's probably more likely in terms of the party-style show. But I was thinking that I might do the occasional live show with perhaps some invited guests talking about a particular subject. Because, I mean, my podcast is, well, I was going to say it's serious. Well, it's not like serious. But, I mean, it's the theme of it overall over these 2.5 years or whatever hasn't been entirely jovial. I mean, I have a good laugh. I laugh at myself more than anything, probably. But I am aware that the body of work, my oeuvre, has been of a more serious nature, talking about topics and talking about subjects and things like that. So I thought I might sort of do that because it's kind of a hybrid between my normal podcasts and the more party atmosphere ones, which, as I say, will be coming back at some stage periodically. And but we'll see how it goes. Now, the idea behind Pride 48, for those of you who don't know is, or haven't listened to it, is that it's sort of a talk network, if you will, for live streaming podcasts. And there's a whole variety of shows that are podcasting over that, going live. Some of them are more serious discussion types. Some of them are the party style shows. Some of them are about sex. Some of them aren't. Some of them are serious. Some of them aren't. It's a little bit of everything. But the vision behind it from the Adam and Maddie show, and also from Daniel Brewer from Dubious Intent, was that it'd be kind of a talk network, because there are shows and ways of hearing shows about music and things like that, but there's not a whole lot of places where you can go and hear a whole bunch of talk podcasts, especially in particular in the GLBT content area. Now, of course, not all of the podcasts that took part in the Pride 48 weekend are GLBT podcasts. Some of them were GLBT-friendly podcasts, which is fine. And I imagine that may continue in the future. It probably will continue in the future as Pride 48 goes forward. The server is going to continue for the next year, certainly. And that means that there are plenty of opportunities to do more live streaming shows, which is why I'm thinking about the sorts of things that I could do that would kind of make sense for the format of the Amarin's podcast, or the precedent of the episodes that I've done. So if you have any thoughts about those, if you have any thoughts about any of that, I would love to hear it. I'd love to hear what you'd like to hear, or even what you would not like to hear. I can't talk today. What is with my tongue? Try again. I'm a little goofy today because I'm a bit tired, and I'm not quite sure why, but I am. Oh, did you just hear Jake in the background? I don't know. He's probably barking at some kids out in the park. Anyway, the main thing I wanted to talk about today was about that whole Pride 48 thing, and to sort of give you a clue about what's going to be happening. And I also wanted to go over comments, because they've sort of piled up since my last regular podcast was on July 8th. And since then, I've done, of course, a live podcast and Too Political, but I haven't been here in the studio since the beginning of July. So I thought it was about time I got caught up. And so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go over the written comments to the past two Amarin's podcasts, starting with 164, Normal Again. And that, of course, was the last studio podcast that I've done. And the first comment was from Archer, who said, "That was probably the best minute and 35 seconds of the whole Pride 48 after show. Good job getting it condensed down to the perfect highlights. Was Daniel drunk?" And if you haven't heard it, I should actually put a link just to that file in the show notes in case you do want to hear it. But what I did, I recorded most of that after show, and I sort of distilled it down into, quite frankly, the bits I thought were funny. Your mileage may vary. And next up was Roger Green, who said, "I guess I like the Sunday show better because you and Nigel told stories. And yes, I too would like to have heard his version of your wedding. Put it on the next Nigel podcast list now. I suppose Saturday had a bit too much of drunken frat boy motif for my taste. Not you or Nigel, but the others. And there was the lengthy bit of them discussing stuff that we in the audience could not see," which would have been the chat room, I'm guessing. "It was boring. However unplanned you and Nigel were alone, boring you never were. Thank you very much, Roger. And actually, the reason I struggled with that is because I have the screen a bit too far away. It wasn't Roger's writing, it's my eyes. Overall, I suppose I tend to agree. But the odd thing is I actually thought that Saturday was more of the drunken fret boy thing than Sunday's was. And those of you who listen to the live two-hour extravaganza will know that I tried to get Nigel to talk about the Civil Union. He wasn't much interested. And he was probably right, because it was more of a Saturday night party time kind of thing, and Friday night in the U.S. So it was probably not the best circumstance to be discussing that, but I did try. And next up was Chris, who says, "Hi, Arthur, thanks for all your help. We have taken your advice and will arrive in Auckland in November for a four-week holiday. On that note, I've been investigating sat-nav technology and came across this one open-source project," and provides a link. Has any of your audience used these maps? Are they any good?" And it is from, actually, I'm going to click the link now because I haven't done that before. First of all, backing up a little bit, one of the things I often do when I communicate with people who are considering possibly moving to New Zealand or what have you, is I always say, come and visit first, ideally for an extended period of time. The reason being that you just don't know for sure what a place is like until you actually spend some time there. The thing that everyone has to remember, though, is that if you go any place on holiday, whether it's in your own country or if it's to another country, the experiences you have are going to be better probably than what you find living there. Reason being that all of us, when we're in holiday mode, as I call it, are a bit more easygoing and a bit more relaxed, and we tend to geared up toward having fun, I suppose, which is not necessarily the way day-to-day life is, let's be honest. And so you have to sort, whenever you do go to a place to look with an eye toward moving there, whether it's, again, within your own country or somewhere else, I would advise looking at it from trying to look for the bad things to see if they annoy you, because they very well may. And unless you're looking for them, you may not see them when you're on holiday. But anyway, the maps are the NZ Open GPS project. And quite frankly, Chris, I know absolutely nothing about this. I will ask around about it, but I don't know anything about it. I'm just having a quick look to see what it says it works with. And I can't see, so I'll just check out the link in... Oh, never mind. I'll put a link in the show notes for this episode. So anybody who wants to can go check it out themselves. And maybe I'll have some more information. As a matter of fact, I think I'll talk about that more in an upcoming episode. So you don't have to worry about it now at all. Unless you want to, in which case you can. But then Chris also added, what I mean is, can they find top 10 campsites? And he also then adds again, might make an interesting topic for a podcast. And you're absolutely right, especially because I didn't do my research ahead of time. So I will talk about that in the next episode. I can tell you that Nigel uses a TomTom in his car, and I have his old Navman because he bought a TomTom and gave me his old one. But I hardly ever use mine because I only go to a few places and I know how to get there. But a couple of times I've needed to get somewhere and I didn't have a clue how to get there, and it did come in really handy. But the map in it is getting pretty old now, and I'd have to pay quite a lot to update it. So I am kind of interested in this thing, and as I say, I will report back and let you know. And the next comments are over for Emrin's 165, which was Emrin's Live. And the first comment was from Roger Green, who said, "Yeah, a tad long. I'm listening to it in parts, in fact. I'm only 53 minutes in at this point. But before I forget, Fun with Words," and he provides a link, "says all of these are correct. Brace of ducks, flock of ducks, flush of ducks, paddling of ducks, raft of ducks, team of ducks." And for those of you who did make it through that marathon, apparently about 53 minutes in, we talked about what a bunch of ducks are called. There were some birds that were sitting out on the branch in the tree outside my office window. Well, they're actually probably canoodling. I said they were having sex, but they were probably just being very friendly for birds. And that led to talking about ducks that are in the park by the house. So there you go. Now we know. Then he came back later, and the Roger did, and said, "Surprisingly enjoyable given the unscripted nature. If I knew you were a poli-sci major, I had forgotten. I'm a poli-sci major, and Roger, I did not know that. Roger's a librarian, which he sometimes mentions in comments. But, Roger, I did not know you were a poli-sci major. Woohoo! I'm glad I did that, actually. Still, since I listen at work on headphones and answer the phone, the listening was probably interrupted 7 times. Someone did a study, someone always does a study, and it was determined that 40 to 45 minutes is optimal for a podcast. That's 45 minutes American, by the way. Don't know what it converts to in metric. Very good. I haven't heard that one in particular, but I do remember actually seeing advice from one of the original podcasters, and I can't remember who it was. It's probably somebody famous, but the name escapes me right now, who said that the optimal length for a podcast was 25 to 30 minutes because – I think it was even 25 minutes – because that was the average length of commute for a New Yorker. I thought, a New Yorker, huh? But then I heard it. I heard another version of the same thing where they said that was the average commute in America. So I don't know. I don't know what the story is. But I personally find half an hour or less to be the most convenient because sometimes, you know, if you're listening in the car, whatever, it's convenient. But also just if you're doing stuff around the house and it's only a half an hour block and you can move on to the next one. Whereas if everybody does an hour or, God forbid, 2 hours, it can take up a heck of a lot of your day listening to podcasts, the one podcast. So that's why I try to keep it to 30 minutes or less, generally speaking, or about half an hour, we'll say. And finally, it was Michael in Stuttgart who said, "Hilarious podcast. You should do Drunky Gangbang live shows more often. Great crowd of amazingly funny people. And I don't think Dennis dominated the show. He's a nice guy who just smokes too much. Thanks for the great fun." Well, thank you, Michael. And Daniel, I'm sure, will be glad to know that he made such an impression. I remember on Hello Waffles, Calvin always refers to him as Mikael, but I can't say it that way. My high school German was never very good under the best of circumstances, and to this day, it still isn't very good. But anyway. Now today, finally today, I have a couple of voicemails, and there's a bit of a story behind that. I was reaching the end of the time before I would lose the voicemail number again, and so I just tweeted, say, hey, if somebody who has free minutes wants to do me a favor and bring the voicemail line, then I don't have to. And a couple of people did. So it just goes to show what the power of things like Twitter are, when you can post a message and people will come to your aid if they can. But it was very good of them to do, and I figure I might as well play them right now. And I'm going to debut my brand new voicemail theme music.
Hello? Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead! Get off my phone! I'm going to lose my mind today.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Okay, well, as I said, I put out the call on Twitter, and the call was answered. And the first call was from Lord Byron, who also saved my phone line the last time.
Hello, Arthur. I just thought I'd save you from losing the number and all that. Good to see you online tonight. Lord Byron from Illinois.
Thank you, Your Lordship. And he's actually been on a couple of podcasts lately, or podcast after shows or whatever. I know, it's all sort of blending together in my mind, too. I can't be sure who's done what when. But anyway, thank you very much, Your Lordship. And now here's the next one.
Well, the show, dude.
Thank you very much. And actually, I do know who that's from, but since he didn't say his name, I'm not sure I should either. But thank you very much. I do appreciate it. Now, of course, all of you listening, you can pick up the phone at any time and leave a message, which means that then I won't have to, ring my own line, or I won't have to put out pleas on the Twitters. And in case you're wondering why I'm stalling, it's because I don't have my phone number up either. And so I thought I might as well just go ahead and go and get it and tell you what it is. And of course, this has been sort of par for the course today, being unprepared. They wanted me to get on the live stream, as I said at the beginning, and I did, but I didn't have various bits and pieces ready to go. I didn't have my sounds ready. Oh, it was just a mess. But anyway, the comment line is 206-666-5172. And of course, that number is operational 24 hours a day. That's it for today, everybody. I may be back twice this week, but certainly at least once more. So until next time, I hope you have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.